Blog Talk Radio.
Close the door, guys. Good morning, and welcome to this morning's edition of Out of the Blocks on Southern Sports Central. I am your host, Sheena Quick. Thank you guys for joining and listening to me this crisp October morning. It is finally starting to feel like fall, and with fall, it's always associated with football weather. So we're going to jump right into things and talk about this weekend's college football games. Namely, the Clemson Tigers at 5-0 have moved up in the AP rankings to number one, and rightfully so. They became the first team to have three top 15 wins before October 1st, knocking off Auburn, Louisville, and then yesterday Virginia Tech. I would say that even though Clemson has proven themselves to be pretty much a perennial powerhouse lately, I would say that I, for one, am shocked that they didn't really have as much of a fall off as I thought they would have in losing Deshaun Watson due to the NFL. But they've actually come close to being maybe even better than that national championship team last year. A lot of people would echo the same sentiments. One of the biggest question marks of any team when they're losing a quarterback is continuity and just continuance and being able to, you know, have a fluid offense. Apparently, that's not a problem for Clemson. They actually won in double digits yesterday. Virginia Tech didn't ever really seem too threatened, even to the point where the Virginia Tech coaches had to sing the praises of this Clemson club. Being that Florida State hasn't had the awesome or stellar season that we thought that they would have, largely due to the fact that they're without their quarterback. You know, they lost Francois for the whole season in that first game against Alabama. The fact that Florida State isn't as strong actually hurt Alabama's chances as far as strength of schedule. They didn't really get too many points in beating, you know, a beleaguered Florida State team. So they sit at number two, 5-0. Nick Saban's never one to be counted out. It's just that their schedule just hasn't been as impressive as the Clemson Tigers. As we go on, like I said before, Clemson's number one, Alabama's number two, the Oklahoma Sooners are in number three, Penn State sitting at number four, and the Washington Huskies round out your top five. You guys give me a call up, 914-803-4581. Let me know what you thought about yesterday's games and, you know, what teams you think will be on the rise that can actually make some noise coming up in the college football playoff season. Well, I'm sorry, the college football playoff bracket. So I'll be looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about that. Right now we're going to hear a little bit of Clemson fight music to celebrate that move up to number one in the AP rankings. And we're back. I'm Sheena Quick, and you're listening to Out of the Blocks we've gotten to a little bit of that Clemson team that has moved up into the number one rankings, and just some of the surprises that that we've come to witness from this team in the early part of the season. As stated before, they have 3 wins over top 15 opponents by a combined score of 92-44. Not shutting out, but having a commanding victory over number 12 Virginia Tech yesterday, 31-17. Again, like I said before, a lot of people not necessarily counted Clemson out, but we didn't quite expect them to have this much fortitude and force going into this season. And while you can't really ever count this Dabo Swinney team out, but I don't think anyone was expecting them to challenge Alabama in the number 1 and 2 spot for the national championship as closely as they have. But a lot of times people say that, you know, pressure busts pipes, and pressure does create diamonds. So maybe this team got a little bit of fuel from being kind of overlooked, and, you know, people were expecting the after championship slump. So, I mean, a lot of times that can really be a motivating factor when it comes to football or any sport or any walk of life. And that being said, a lot of the Clemson players, including wide receiver Hunter Renfrow, did mention that they've used it as motivation, and that's not how they're looked at now, started this season off with such a commanding presence. Another team in the ACC that's making a little bit of noise because they're often overlooked, and, you know, myself included, even being an alumni, is NC State. One of the coaches made a statement yesterday prior to the Wolfpack's win that they're better than number 25 LSU, and they deserve to be in the top 25 of college football rankings. Well, being that LSU fell yesterday to Troy on their homecoming, that might not be a poor observation. This NC State team is amazing on defense, and as the old mantra always says, defense wins championships, offense brings the crowd. But NC State has always been known for having a pretty strong defense in the past, and this season doesn't look to be any different. Right now in the latest rankings, they were receiving votes of 87, not too far off of the 92 received by number 25 LSU. So we might actually see them, you know, crack that top 25. And in other news, Florida State dropped from number 12 to completely out of the top 25 as they just notched their first win yesterday over Wake Forest, and that was only by 7 points. So that being said, this Florida State team didn't expect to struggle like this coming into the season, but they also didn't expect to be without their quarterback. So I don't think any of us are shocked at this point in the struggles of this young FSU team. But when we go to NC State, and I don't mean to jump around, but I'm just really excited about ACC football right now. As we jump back over to NC State, they've won their 4th straight game, beating Syracuse 33-25, and 3-1 on the season with the season opener against South Carolina that very, very easily could have gone the other way. The Wolfpack suffered a couple of penalties that, you know, were just a result of being an undisciplined team at that time. And I would venture to say that if that game happened later in the season, we might see a different result. But again, that can be said with any of the games this season. Naheem Hines is actually making a lot of noise. Jalen Samuels gets a lot of the clout at NC State, pretty strong receiver. But Naheem Hines rushed for 115 yards and a touchdown as the Wolfpack held off Syracuse late at Carter-Finley Stadium yesterday again to win 33-25. Definitely expect to see the Wolfpack crack that top 25 this upcoming week. If not, it'll be a disappointment, but I'm pretty sure that's not too far off from everyone's radar. And right now we're going to go into a short break, and we'll be right back with your expectations on today's NFL game day and Monday Night Football.
Te lo digo, you can f*** for me, ni aunque tú quieras, that's a fact. Cardi B y de El Trap, soy la mamá. Hit the school y compro todo lo que quiera comprar. I'm a boss, you a worker, yo adelante y tú atrás. Esta canción está mi honey y mi flow.
anuncio mío, lo que tú haces un año entero. Si me ve, no me saludes, tú y yo no somos amigas. Si tú no haces dinero, tú no eres de la mía. Dice que tú puedes contra mí, vamos a averiguar, vamos allá. Soy rapera y también yo sé pelear. You in the club, tú sapeando, yo llegando y cobrando. Siempre estoy depositando, tan cansada de mí en el banco. En verdad, no me importa a quien yo le caiga más. Llevo 2 meses, 6 meses, nadie me puede parar. I don't bother with this, don't let this bother me. All these son mis hijas, todas se copian de mí. Mira, yo me robo a tu novio, hago coro con tu esposo. Tu jevo está asfixiado, sé que lo tengo sabroso. Yo se lo pongo en el pop, I'm like, okay. Yo le pido lo que quiera, él me compra mi cartera. Yo me dispeta, lo tengo tan asfixiado que hasta me paga mi renta. Soy la más dura en la calle, no, you probably heard of me. Me busqué, me arreglé los dientes, fuck you, no ren. Pago la renta de mi madre y no dependo de nadie. Si no hablas de dinero, es mejor que ni me hable. De love, you can't fuck with me, ni aunque tú quieras. That's a fact, Cardi B y de El Trap, soy la mamá. Hit the store y compro todo lo que quiera comprar. I'm a boss, you a worker, yo adelante y tú atrás. Esta canción es pa' mi cuni y mi crew. Un son mío, lo que tú haces un año entero. Si me ve, no me saludes, tú y yo no somos amigas. Si tú no haces dinero, tú no eres de la mía.
Dice que tú puedes contra mí, suelta eso, B. Please, todos mis shows son pagos, ninguno gratis. Créeme a mí, no haga que yo coja aquí un felony. I'm the big D for well, these nerds know my pedigree. Honestly, I got bad bitches that wanna f*** with me. Suck on me, ride me crazy y dejarme seco a mí. Que yo no estaba sonando, que no estaba haciendo bulla. Dije que estaba apagado y pegado con la jeva tuya. Ay, ando con mi primo Lucas, Corito Sano y compa de pu. Lo que tú gastas una noche en botella, soy yo lo gasto en refiles de juca. Dicen me cita de p, voy que no da y después traje en bala. A lo mejor les ya pensaba que yo iba a darle y después mudala. Andamos en la calle, o sea en la llegada. Andamos fumando Vallelite, Purple Hill, Miguel Cole. Hablan a tu espalda y cuando te ven ellos no dicen nada. Ando con mi hermano DJ Hover and tonight we gonna shake the block.
The love, love, you can fuck with me, ni aunque tú quieras. That's a fact, Cardi B y de El Trap, soy la mamá. Hit the store y compro todo lo que quiera comprar. I'm a boss, you a worker, yo adelante y tú atrás. Esta canción es pa' mi goonies y mi crew. Un show mío, lo que tú haces un año entero. Si me ve, no me saludes, tú y yo no somos amigas. Si tú no haces dinero, tú no eres de la mía.
Good morning. You're back here out of the block with Sheena Marie. Thanks for joining us this morning. We've talked a little bit about college football and some of the movings and shakings up in the rankings from Saturday, most notably Clemson moving into that number one spot ahead of Alabama. Now we venture over to the NFL, where I'm pretty sure if you did not see the game on Thursday, you definitely heard about the nasty hit that Chicago Bears linebacker Danny Trevathan laid on the Green Bay Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams. It was a crucial helmet-to-helmet hit. He was flagged for targeting. Trevathan has since been suspended for 2 games without pay by the NFL, and Adams was sent to the hospital. So on Saturday, the NFL announced that Trevathan violated Rule 12, Section 2, Article 6, which I'm sure none of you know because I didn't either. There shall be no unnecessary roughness. This shall include, but not be limited to, using any part of a player's helmet or face mask to butt, spear, or ram an opponent violently or unnecessarily. Of course, Trevathan has appealed. I don't understand what grounds he could possibly appeal on. If you guys saw that hit, it was definitely targeting. It was definitely helmet to helmet. And at this level of football, that's simply unacceptable and it's uncalled for. This comes on the heel of us finding out last week that upon concluding their research, Boston researchers found that Aaron Hernandez, former New England tight end, who committed suicide a couple months back had the most severe form of CTE they had ever seen. The 27-year-old's brain was pretty much deteriorated to the point of a 67-year-old man's, which is just insane. And just in light of all the research that's been done and the concussions and the danger and just the all of the risk factors that come with it, I feel like two games is actually pretty light. He should have gotten more. It should be a fine on top of that. But these players have got to know that this is a game. I mean, you just have no right to do that to someone else. The rules are pretty much clear cut. It's a level of sportsmanship, ethics, moral compass, all of that goes into that. I say that because I'm not sure a lot of you know, I am also a football mom, and so these things hit very, very dear and true to me when it comes to the concussions, because I have to balance being a mom and, you know, letting my kids do participate in something that they're really passionate in, but also having to keep their safety of the utmost concern to me. So that being said, a little boy yesterday on my children's football team was targeted with a helmet-to-helmet hit and ended up having to go to the hospital as well. So thankfully, all of his tests came back negative and he's safe, but it's just one of those things that just cannot be tolerated. It has to be nipped in the bud immediately. So I do commend the NFL on taking swift action. I just wish that it would have been just a little bit more strenuous. And we'll just see what the results of Trevathan's appeal will be. A lot of Packers were really, really irritated with not only the hit, but the fact that he celebrated after that. Martellus Bennett said, what we thought was effed up was that he was celebrating that play. You get your ass kicked, you took a cheap shot, and you celebrate when a guy goes down. That's what really pissed us off. And right now, Trevathan is eligible to return to the active roster for the Bears on October 16th. His appeal will take place this week, and it will be heard by either James Thrash or Derek Brooks. They're both appeals officers that have been jointly appointed by the NFL and the NFLPA to render a fair and swift verdict. Said, I really don't want to see him get by with just a slap on the wrist. This is very, very important. It was a very severe hit. You know, like I said before, if you guys haven't seen it, just Google it, look it up. It was at the tip of everybody's tongues on Thursday night, which kind of overshadowed a Packers victory there. But it's one of the parts of the game that we definitely have to talk about outside of the stats and the scores. And leading into the Panthers versus the Patriots today, we had a pretty spirited conversation last Thursday with the Somerville football head coach regarding Cam Newton and the concerns for his safety and just the toll that the targeting has taken on him physically. As we all know, Cam is a pretty mobile quarterback. He very rarely just sits in the pocket, and that's part of what made the Panthers great and what has made Cam Newton a great quarterback both at Auburn and at the NFL level. But a lot of people were very offended and took offense to him, you know, celebrating the way he did and just having such an enjoyment, enthusiasm for the game with the dabbing and the touchdown celebrations. Instead of keeping him out of the end zone, you know, he was targeted. There were some very, very nasty cheap hits taken, you know, last year, the year before, you know, not so much as many this year, but they definitely have taken a toll on the Cam Newton that we've seen through the first couple of weeks of the season here. I think that being out all of the preseason, all of training camp, you know, being held to a pitch count during training camp and only making attempting two preseason passes, I think that's really hurt the chemistry and the confidence of this quarterback who, you know, I never thought that I would mention, you know, a lack of confidence when it comes to Cam Newton, but I feel like that's what we're seeing here. That's why the Panthers record sits where it sits, and that's why we see that offense just marching down the field, getting into the red zone. You know, the time of possession, they're actually leading the league in time of possession and drive, but they just cannot punch it through to the end zone. They're settling for field goals or turning it over on downs and, you know, making short punts. But I think that just the physical toll of that targeting has definitely touched the psyche and the physical abilities of Cam Newton. It'll be interesting to see how this Panthers offense responds to a New England defense that isn't all that great. They haven't been all that impressive thus far in the season.
So we'll see if there's an opportunity for the Panthers offense to get back on track and get some confidence, get the new guys, the Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel and, you know, Eric Dixon, who is filling in for Greg Olsen as a result of that broken foot we saw. It's a chance to get those guys some confidence, and you know, confidence goes a long way when it comes to winning these games. So it'll be interesting to see how the Panthers take advantage of a not-so-stellar Patriots defense, because we already know what Tom Brady's going to do. We already know what he's going to do. The most you can do is just try to limit the damage as much as possible and offset what Tom does with the scoring. And that's what the Panthers are going to have to do today if we stand a chance. Or if they, I'm sorry, I always say we because I get caught up in the fact that I am the beat writer for the Panthers. That's an attribute that the Panthers are going to have to control as they take the field in Gillette Stadium today at 1 o'clock. Another aspect of the Panthers team that's going to be tested is the defense and the secondary. Julius Peppers has been ruled out for today's game. Thomas Davis was nursing some injured ribs, but he is playing. As of 11:52 a.m., he is still expected to start and play in today's game. But Julius Peppers has been ruled out for today's game, so they won't have his pass rushing expertise. And it's going to be up to the guys in the secondary. We got a mix of old and a mix of new in there. We got some vets mixed in with, you know, some second year cornerbacks that are going to have to step up and make themselves known today if the Panthers are going to be able to limit Tom Brady and the Patriots. When we come back, we'll get into the Dallas Cowboys matchup today, which is also at 1 o'clock, and let you know kind of my thoughts and input and predictions for that game as well.
Mirándote, tengo que bailar contigo hoy. Vi que tu mirada ya estaba llamándome. Muéstrame el camino que yo doy. Oh, tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso. Ya me estás gustando más de lo normal. Todos mis sentidos están pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firma las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito. Se acelera el pulso. Oh, sé que te estoy gustando más de lo normal. Es que tus sentidos van pidiendo más. Vamos a tomarlo sin ningún apuro. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito.
playa en Puerto Rico, hasta que las olas griten ay bendito, para que mi sello se quede contigo. Pasito a pasito, suave suavecito, nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito.
Daddy Yankee, Boricua, cubano, Boricua, cubano, Boricua, cubano.
Gracias.
and welcome back to Out of the Blocks with Sheena Quick. We just went over a couple of the college football highlights from this past weekend, getting into a little bit of the NFL games on Thursday, on this past Thursday, as well as what we expect to see today. We've already talked about the Bears and the Packers match up on Thursday that resulted in Bears linebacker Trevathan being suspended by the NFL for a helmet-to-helmet hit. And we actually dabbled a little bit on Cam Newton and the targeting and things that go on in the game, as well as the impact that it's had on him and, you know, coincidentally, the entire Panthers football team. As we go on to the matchup between Dallas and the L.A. Rams today, this afternoon, a lot of people are wondering, will this be Ezekiel Elliott's last game before his suspension starts? The Court of Appeals is scheduled to hear the NFL's motion to stay the injunction that has been allowing Elliott to play tomorrow. As you guys know, Elliott was facing a hefty suspension following domestic violence accusations and just different accusations of fumbling and bumbling on the evidence and the handling of the case by the NFL. Granted, Ezekiel Elliott was granted a temporary restraining order, which allows him to play until they hear his case. So the NFL, in response to that, filed a motion to stay the injunction that allowed Elliott to play on Monday. Cowboys are having an okay season. They got the news that the linebacker Sean Lee will be out today and active against the Rams due to a hamstring injury. He didn't practice all week because of the strain and was listed as questionable before just being ruled out of the game for today. Justin Durant will be replacing Lee in that starting lineup. Durant is a veteran linebacker in his own right, so it'll be interesting to see what he does given the opportunity to showcase his skills today. Nolan Carroll is also questionable in the Cowboys secondary. He was warming up today, but in tennis shoes, so it could be a sign that he will not play after suffering a concussion on September 17th against Denver. Again, you always want to be super cautious when it comes to those concussions and coming back from that and just the implications that it could have long term. That being said, Ezekiel Elliott, 192 rushing yards so far on 55 carries. I think we expected to see a little bit more, a lot more from him at this point in the season. But, you know, dealing with the fact that, you know, he did have a stellar, amazing rookie season, that's not something that can be expected season in and season out. You know, things happen, injuries, off-the-field problems come into play, with, especially with Ezekiel Elliott. He's had his fair share of off-the-field issues that he has to contend with. But after a win against the Cardinals on Monday, the Cowboys were left with kind of a short week to prepare for the Rams, but I really don't foresee that being an issue. The Rams are a young team, young coach. The Cowboys should be able to eke out a win today. If they don't, it would be a little bit shocking. Well, I'm not going to say shocking. It's the NFL. Anything can happen week in and week out. But in case you guys haven't noticed, I've been playing a lot of Latino music in support of our family and friends out in Puerto Rico who, you know, they're still suffering the devastation of Hurricane Irma with limited federal response to that so far, which is had a lot of people kind of up in arms. But this past week, the Panthers head coach, Ron Rivera, who has a lot of family in Puerto Rico, actually made a pretty sizable contribution and is being matched and met by celebrities and coaches, as well as civilians nationwide, as we all try to answer the call for help of our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters out there as they struggle to get back on their feet amid food, electricity, water shortages, and everything else caused by that hurricane. Moving right along, dealing with Sean Lee again and that hamstring strain, a lot of people are saying that week of rest could actually help the Cowboys in being that Lee will come back stronger, faster, and more durable. But week in and week out, we need our best players on the field no matter what team they're facing. So as we come back from break, I'm going to actually, before we take a break, I'm going to bring in our caller, Wood. Wood is a regular guest on the show. Very, very knowledgeable, super, super duper football mind, as well as pop culture phenom. So I'm gonna welcome Wood into the call. Wood, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, we were getting into a little bit of the college football earlier, and now just moving along into the NFL games that we're looking forward to today. What's high on your list of priorities for today?
Well, as usual, the Panthers and Patriots, simply because the Panthers are on my team.
I talked a little bit about them earlier. What do you expect to see from the Panthers today for them to be able to be competitive in this game?
Well, first of all, I think they need to stop the short passing game. Short passing game, definitely.
Exactly.
Of the Patriots. I think.
And would you say that's more? Do you think that the defense, and I spoke a little bit about that on Thursday, giving up the short yardage, the 8-9 yard pass, you know, 8-9 yard passes and things like that, because they're playing very, very soft coverage. Do you think that's because of the youth of the secondary, or what do you think that's due to?
That could possibly be it. Also, I mean, it plays, you know, it gives more so towards the strength of the defense, which is the linebackers and the front four. But I just honestly, I was hoping that they would make some moves in the offseason to strengthen the secondary a little more, but that didn't happen. But I guess you gotta make do with what you have out there.
Was they? I think that they would argue that they did make moves. They feel like they did make moves in signing Mike Adams and Captain Munnerling to shore up just the veteran leadership in that group. But I think that it's in the coverages that they're picking, and I don't know if it's because that's a lack of confidence in those young corners. But I would definitely like to see them jam the line more and play more man to man. One of the coaches that was on with me last Thursday mentioned that the receivers are too protected. Do you think the NFL protects the receivers too much to the point where corners are scared to be more physical? When I say scared, I mean like scared of being penalized more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the NFL today is definitely a passing league. So, yeah, the calls are geared more towards the benefit of the receivers and the QBs. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Nothing more so for the Panthers. Now, I mean a lot of folks that I just talked to just in everyday passing and things like that. A lot of people are expecting this offense to be more explosive, but to be honest with you, I didn't. Not this early in the season. I felt like the fact that Cam was out all of offseason, you know, only threw two passes in the preseason games. He's, you know, held to a pitch count during training camp. I felt like they would need time to gel, you know, with McCaffrey and Curtis Samuels. And now with Eric Dixon taking the place of Greg Olsen, this is basically almost a brand-new offensive unit. You know, I don't feel like enough moves were made to shore up that offensive line. We brought in one of the Khalil brothers who, you know, they both have struggled with injuries. They've given up a lot of sacks so far this year. I felt like the defense was going to have to carry that team for the better part, the first part of the season at least.
I mean, true, but we talking about Carolina Panthers, so that's nothing new with the defense carrying the team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I will say this, while I didn't think that the offense was going to be super explosive early on, I expected it to be a little bit more efficient than it has been. You know, they are actually leading the league in time of possession and drives, but they just can't hit pay dirt. They're not cashing in. And why do you think that is once they get all the way down the field?
I've been asking that question for the past 4 years now. I mean, they get all down there in the red zone, but they never seem to be able to punch it in the end zone. I think that comes with the – I think that falls on the play calling. It's kind of like they have brain fart once they get in the red zone.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They went seven quarters without a touchdown until last week's game against the Saints, which actually was a little bit difficult to watch. It was just, I know we're talking about offense, and I keep teetering, tottering back and forth between the two, but it looked like you could just drive a Mack truck through that defensive line last Sunday. I mean, the holes were there. They were there often, which opened up the passing game, of course. And it was, I mean, you can't do that with a Drew Brees, so you definitely can't do it with a Tom Brady. These are veteran quarterbacks that will pick you apart. And they'll do it often. One adjustment that I did notice that I liked was I noticed that they didn't try to run Christian McCaffrey up the middle last week as they had been doing in the earlier games. Oh, it looks like Worm is calling in. He would scream if you knew I called him Worm on air. We're gonna bring him in. Hold on just a second. Hello, caller. Would you like for us to reveal your identity? Or are you here on an anonymous tip? What's that?
I'm not anonymous at all. I'm not anonymous at all.
Oh, okay.
I just want to call in because I love Sports Talk Radio.
Okay. It looks like we lost Wood. We were talking about the Panthers and Patriots game today. Are you planning on watching that?
Absolutely. I'm actually with Wood. We're about to go watch it together.
Did you agree with some of the stuff that he said that we were thinking about as far as, like, what they need to do to be competitive at least today?
Absolutely. I think that something that the Panthers need to do is target their tight end more. I know Olsen is out. But especially in the red zone, what they lack is being able to control the middle of the field with the tight end against the opposing team's linebacker. Without being able to control that, they struggle inside the red zone. Even with Kelvin Benjamin not being 100% because of the injury from last week, they still can be dominant within the red zone and they can get there.
Well, they're saying he's going to be at full strength for today's game. He participated in practice fully on Thursday, so they anticipate him being at full strength today.
Saying it and seeing what that injury was, there's definitely some discomfort there with that knee. What do you think, Wood?
I think so.
They got to hear you, so you got to talk louder than that.
It could have been a lot worse than that. When it comes to the Panthers, I often wonder, these players come back, but there's obviously like lingering psychological, you know, ties that come with those injuries. What do you think that's what we're seeing with Cam?
Absolutely. I feel as Cam was rushed back, and his struggles have been because of shoulder fatigue. Cam was never a very accurate quarterback anyway, but because of the shoulder fatigue from the surgery that he had this offseason, it's hurting or hindering him to be as accurate as he was in the past, even though that wasn't the most accurate. Plus, he's still cautious with getting that shoulder hit, so he's able to be as effective in the run game as he has been.
You don't think any of that has to do with the offensive line?
Cam has played with a subpar offensive line his whole career, so I'm not going to use that as an excuse.
Oh, okay. Well, I was using it as an excuse. especially due to the fact that, you know, just in talking to Gettleman and I know he's since been ousted, but talking to him at the combine, he, you know, displayed no worries or concerns at all on that offensive line, despite the fact that at the time Michael Orr had still been in concussion protocol for almost an entire season. And then they brought on one of the Khalil brothers, signed him.
Yeah.
They gave him a lot of money, a ton of money, despite the fact that he had missed almost the entire previous season. And, I mean, has been out considerably so far for the Panthers as well. And his brother. His brother struggled with a nagging shoulder injury also. So with that being said, do you think that money was spent elsewhere when it should have been on the offensive line? Or as far as the people that they did sign?
That's a question for Wood. I feel like that, because he knows more about how they spend their money. I'm not the best at that.
They've actually updated the inactive list. So Julius Peppers, who was considered questionable, is going to be on the field today. So I think that's a big plus for them. But as far as like Christian McCaffrey, I think that a lot of pressure was put on these rookies to come in and just automatically give this team just a rush that they didn't have last season. Because last season it was almost painful to watch them not score. Like the offense was just completely stagnant. Do you feel
that's
like
Shula's fault.
Christian Mc? What's that?
That's Shula's fault. I feel that the Panthers have the weapons with big receivers on the outside with Funches and Benjamin, also with a grinder with who's the starting running back? Jonathan Stewart. I think he can run between
Jonathan
the tackles. Absolutely, he can be very even though he's very fragile. He can run between the tackles and. Christian McCaffrey is what you want as an elusive running back. I think the pressure is more so on Shula to put them in the correct position to be successful, even more than Cam. I feel like Shula is a letdown here.
Oh wow! Do you think we'll see him go anywhere anytime soon?
Absolutely not.
And why is that?
I don't think they're going to – because they're not going to blame it on Shula. They're going to blame it on one person. Who you guys think that one person will be that they're going to blame it on?
Cam.
Exactly. They're going to blame him for his inability to move the offense down the field, especially in the red zone, getting touchdowns instead of field goals. And also they're going to blame that shoulder injury that he's dealing with. So they're not going to blame it on Shula. I feel like I think Christian McCaffrey can be as effective as someone like a Dalvin Cook is in Minnesota. And they passed up on Dalvin Cook as well. They passed up on him.
They did pass up on Dalvin. I was disappointed in that.
Likewise. Even though I like Christian McCaffrey, I think he's a really, really good player. They just got to find better ways to get him the football to be effective.
Dalvin would have fit into the system that they're currently running a lot better than Christian McCaffrey would. It is.
Absolutely.
I didn't like – I'm not going to lie. I was a little surprised at the fact that they were trying to run him up the middle in the early games. I just didn't feel like he was that type of back. And, you know, I'm not an offensive coordinator or anything like that.
Yeah.
What's that?
He can do it. He can run between the tackles. I feel like he did it all. He did his entire career at Stanford. They played the pro-style offense there. But he's most effective on the outside, which – They struggle with getting him the ball on the outside, though. So, once again, that goes back to Shula, not Cam or the inabilities of Christian.
Now, how do you think this defense is going to respond to the task of trying to contain Tom Brady? Namely, the secondary.
Right, well,
because, you know, Daryl Worley, one of the starting cornerbacks, is out.
So with Tom Brady, over the years, if you can stop his short passing game, which they use as an extension of their run game, you can put him in uncomfortable positions. You also have to get pressure up the middle, which they have in what's the D tackle name that's really, really good? Short.
Juan Short.
Short, yeah. So they can get pressure up the middle with him and just contain him on the outside. But you don't really have to contain Tom because he's not going to escape the pocket. He just want to step up in the pocket. But you have to press their slot receivers, who is – and what's the guy name? Hogan? What's the name? The guy for the Patriots slot now?
That's what?
The guy for the Patriots is the slot, and I think it's number 11. Not Edelman, but Hogan. Hogan is his name.
So you're saying that this zone defense and this soft coverage that we've seen the Panthers do, where they are giving up these 7, 8, 9 yard passes, they need to get up on the line. They need to jam the line.
Absolutely. You want to press those.
They need to play man to man.
Yeah. So there's an issue with man to man. They have young corners that they don't trust that much. So they're going to play them off, especially with the Patriots who have two fast receivers on the outside with Philip Dorsett and Cook.
Right.
So it's like it's a lose-lose. You can either press them and take away Tom Brady's favorite thing to do, or you can give up the big play. I'd rather make Tom Brady make the more difficult throw, which is the deep ball, than the short ones, which he's known to do. What you think, Wood? What would you rather give up? The big ball? I mean, make him not give up, but what would you rather?
I mean, like you said, it's a lose-lose situation. Me personally, I would rather take the deep.
Okay.
I would rather take the deep ball.
But you know that historically, Tom Brady used those short passes as a run game where it was the clock, so it keeps your defense on the team on the field. And your offense can't get the ball because he's just going to dink and dunk you down the field, and then you got that monster as Gronk in the red zone that no one has ever been able to stop.
I feel like the Panthers,
Those deep balls are like definitely confidence breakers for sure. But it's a much more difficult throw. That's like in basketball, if you want to relate it, that's like you'd rather give up the three than give up layups. I'm going to stop the layup. That's a for sure shot.
That's true. I think we saw the Saints work that to perfection last week. I don't feel like they had too many big plays, but they definitely had a lot of short pickups that, you know, moved the ball, that marched the ball down the field. And that seems to be what hurts the Panthers the most
later
this season
on
so far. Right, because they're tired.
You can't have that Saints game over again, and you're playing a better quarterback with better receivers this week. So you got to do something different.
Definitely. Now, what other games are you planning on trying to catch today, Jay?
Oh, the Indianapolis. That's the game I'm looking most forward to.
As an NFL fan or just as a Colts fan? Because I know you're a huge Colts fan.
As a Colts fan, because I feel like we did something last week. It showed that Jacoby Brissett, he has the capability to move our offense. As we wait on Luck's shoulder, that had the same shoulder injury that Cam has, but I think we're being smarter about it as we're keeping him out.
There's a lot of intriguing. Two more matchups today. You got the Steelers and the Ravens. There's a lot of intriguing two more matchups today. You have the Ravens and the Steelers, who both are 2-1. You got the Cowboys and the Rams, who are 2-1. You got the Lions and the Vikings, who are 2-1. Also, the Raiders and the Broncos, which is a robbery, they're both 2-1.
That's going to be a good game, the Raiders and Broncos. The great defense versus a pretty great offense that didn't play well last week. What do you think, Sheena?
What's that? Say it one more time.
What do you think? What game are you looking
forward
to?
I can't hear the last thing you said.
We're talking about the Raiders,
I'm looking forward
Raiders
to
and
the
Broncos.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the Dallas game, of course, because I'm a Dallas fan. Hoping that Ezekiel Elliott can finally break out. You know, we haven't really seen the Zeke that we saw all season last year. And I'm pretty sure some of the off-season stuff has something to do with that, you know. But we'll see. I'm interested in seeing that Sean Lee is out for the game. So then they're down the center back, possibly.
They've been really good lately.
What's that?
The Rams, Rams offense has been really, really good lately. And Cowboys defense is suspect.
They have been very suspect. They have been suspect. And like I said, they're down. They're without Sean Lee today. And they could possibly be down a cornerback as well. So that'll be a game that I'm keeping my eyes on.
Is it
Skandrick
that they're down? Is it Skandrick?
Yes, Andrew.
Okay.
So. That'll be interesting to see. But we talked a little bit last week, not last Sunday, but last Thursday, about one of the most underrated team in the NFL right now. I say it's the Chiefs. Who do you got?
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't say they're underrated No, I don't think they're underrated at all.
I do. This is really talking. I do. I wouldn't say underrated, but they're not given the respect that they should be having right now.
They really aren't.
But you go to the Patriots on opening night, no one is underrating the Chiefs. That you see how great they are. I don't think that's an underrated team. I think the Tennessee Titans are the most underrated team right now.
But I think the thing is, when we talk about Super Bowl contenders and things like that, when was the last time you heard somebody say the Chiefs? They're not a part of those conversations.
Yeah, but they're in the playoffs almost every year.
And I mean, it's a typical NBA thing.
Yeah, they're going to get to the playoffs. Yeah.
That's the thing. Don't get the love that they deserve.
My question to you. Are we talking about Super Bowl contender underrated or just underrated in week four?
I think both.
All right, so I see them.
I would say both.
I
think between them and the Oakland Raiders, they're two of the most balanced teams in the NFL right now. Offense and defense. Across the league, defenses seem to be struggling across the league other than those two.
I don't see Kansas City making it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I have a two-team race, even though Kansas City can be there, but I feel like, just like you said with Andy Reid, playoffs, some of them they're going to lose. I have Oakland and the Patriots as my two teams that's going to make it to the AFC Championship.
And why exactly do you feel that way? Why are you so confident in ruling the Chiefs out?
They don't play well when it comes. They don't play well when it comes down to it. When they have to get a win in the playoffs, the Chiefs gonna lose. You can bet your money on it.
So,
but they do have
something
different that they haven't had in a while.
What's that?
A dominant between the tackles runner. They have a really, really real running game. As great as Jamal Charles, he was a home run threat, not an every down back.
Right. That being said, I did leave the Falcons out, and that's definitely my mistake because they're a very well balanced team as well. But do you think it's just the Atlanta curse that's going to keep them out this year, or what do you see?
I think the Atlanta Falcons will win the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah, hot take.
Okay.
That's when you're supposed to have your horns or something on you. You're supposed to have a horn or something. Atlanta Falcons, I said it first. Yeah. Atlanta Falcons
will
win the Super Bowl.
The Falcons are going to win the Super Bowl. Okay.
They're
going to
beat the Oakland Raiders. They're going to beat the Oakland Raiders on a last-minute drive by Matty Ice.
So here, October 1st,
absolutely.
You got the Falcons over the Raiders in the Super Bowl.
Nope. October 1st?
October 1st.
Yeah.
So what do you
got
for the Super Bowl?
I think it's going to be a rematch. Falcons and
do you think the Falcons
Patriots
will take it this time?
Nope. I think the Patriots will win it again.
Would have
so
definitely
I'm
been drinking.
Jump out there and say I have Green Bay winning.
They're in my NFC championship game.
I have Green Bay taking it all this year.
Over.
I don't remember who else I put in there, though. I've changed my mind after the season started. Does that count?
Nah, you can't do
that.
Does
that count?
Nah,
I can't say
that's
it.
Cheating.
Well,
not a
cheat. Okay, well, I'll say Green Bay over the Patriots.
That's what you had in there just first week.
I just don't want
the
Patriots to get there.
I don't either. I'm not a Patriots fan. It really does something to my soul every Saturday when I have to put on Patriots gear for my kids. I do not like the Patriots.
Well,
that just happens to be the
for,
team that they
play
for. They play for the South Charlotte Patriots.
Nah, they wouldn't have went to the North.
Uh-huh. Not from South Charlotte. That's a drive. But listen, that is a hype. That brings up a little earlier today when I was on by myself, I was just talking about the concussions and the issues. Did you see that hit on Thursday night?
Yes.
Did you watch the Bears and Packers game?
Yes. Wood had an interesting take on that hit.
What was your take, Wood?
It was all within the speed of the game. I think his mouthpiece and helmet coming off made it look worse than what it really was. But if you go back and look at the play, I mean, could he have let up? Yeah, he could have, but I've seen worse with malicious intent behind it, you know. But I just think it was, like I said, I think the mouthpiece and the helmet coming off, it made it look worse than what it was, honestly. But, you know, with the NFL, so of course he's going to get suspended.
Yeah, he's going to suspend it 2 games. He's appealing it. And I say that just on the heels of there was a hit like that yesterday. A little boy from our team actually had to go in an ambulance after getting – he was targeted, though, because that little boy was leading with the helmet on every play. And I thought he should have been ejected because at the age group that they're at, they're right outside of middle school. At this age group, you know how to properly tackle, especially in this – it's a heads-up league. You know, you don't want to take the chance of kids starting to get you don't want to take the chance of kids getting concussions at 10 and 11 years old. Like, that's insane.
It's
too much. Now, I wonder. What's that?
With him being that young, that definitely falls on the coaching.
Definitely. And we still won 19-0, by the way. But still, it was just one of those things that I felt like if my kid were the one that got hit, I would have a huge problem. I mean, it's unsettling anyway, no matter whose child it is, but I definitely would have had a huge problem with him coming back in the game after that. That should have been it for him. He should have sat down. And I wonder how early on Aaron Hernandez was taking those hits. Did you guys get a chance to – did you hear about the findings after the research done on his brain, the CTE research?
Yeah, he was at stage three.
Yeah, like they compared his brain to that of a 67-year-old, and he was only 27
years
old.
I think that's more so the person than the what he's been through as an athlete. I just think that was just unfortunate for his body. I don't think you can just say that the game that he's played has would do the same thing for every person. I think everybody's body is different. He just so happened to been a little crazy with his.
So do you? With that being said, do you think the CTE is the reason for the crimes, or do you think that was
absolutely not? That's just
him.
That's just personality. Yeah, that's just him.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. Now, the suicide part, that could have been CTE related, just because there's other guys that suffer from CTE that did result in suicide. So that would be my argument or my take on that. I said I wasn't going to get too much into the Anthem thing, but I feel like it's kind of like the elephant in the room. How did you guys feel about the Panthers' demonstration or lack thereof in last week's game?
I'll let you have this one.
You sure? Yeah. Y'all really want this?
Yeah, I'm not going to touch this topic.
Why not?
Nah, it's kind of a sensitive topic for me. So.
You're in the military. I want to know your answer. All right, so Will
is an ex-military member. Like, you don't have to feel it. Of course you don't feel attacked. You know both of us, and I just really want to get all perspectives on it. You being an athlete and heavy into the game and being ex-military, how do you feel about that?
I feel like too much attention has been brought on the fact that the protest is taking place during the anthem. You know, when they're not actually protesting the anthem or the flag.
Right.
No, it's good. Keep going.
So, and me as a veteran, honestly, right now at this point in time, I would take a knee if I was to attend.
There go the horns again. Hot take.
that's just me.
If I had a horn, I'd play it. I need to find me one.
And you got to find a horn for that hot take moment.
I'm definitely,
as a veteran, I'm not offended at all whatsoever. I'm not. I mean, like, it's bringing attention, even though it's being twisted on all different sides.
Yeah, it is.
It's paying attention to, like you said, to the injustice, inequality, the racism that's taking place in this country.
I'm gonna go next.
And it needs to be addressed. And with some parties, it don't matter how you protest. It's just because you're protesting, they're gonna have an issue with it. And so, you know, you hear some people, or you see some people posting or saying this isn't the right way to protest. But nobody has a solution or can come up with a better way to protest. So my question is, what is the right way to protest?
Right.
So.
Did you do our sound effects? I can't.
I did.
But that's just my take, man. I could go on, but
I feel that the people who don't want to have the conversation about the reason people are protesting, the athletes are protesting, are using the anthem and the flag as a scapegoat to deter the conversation. They don't want to.
Yeah.
I say they. I hate you. The oppressors don't want to discuss why Mr. Kaepernick started the protesting in the beginning because of police brutality and injustice. So they're going to say, "Hey, you shouldn't do this because it is an insult to our flag and our country," which in actuality, it is not. The reason our military are able to fight overseas is to give us the voice to speak our mind. That's the reason. And the military fight for our Constitution, not our flag or our freedom. I would say that. The military fight for our freedom, not to uphold our flag. That's just a symbol of our freedom. Okay, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Let me ask both of you a question. Have you ever took the time to take a look around the venue when the anthem is being played?
I don't cross my heart. I never have.
I mean, but have you not noticed people walking to concession stands
on their phone,
exactly. People are doing,
but
so
now
that is such a big deal,
because of the people who started the protest. They didn't look like them, and the reason they were protesting, because the conversation has gotten 100% off of the reason. The conversation is about what they see as in the protest. It's not about the reason. Because if people got this upset about the reason people were protesting, this whole thing would never exist. But that's not going to happen.
I agree with that. I will say that
I got one more thing. Hold on. Since we're in Charlotte, let's talk about Mr. Cameron Newton. I think that Cameron Newton should just say what he feels.
He's not going to do that.
Yeah, I think. Or if he's not going to say how he truly feels, just say no comment. I think that would be the best thing. Say no comment.
I will agree with that because I will say
we all
I
know
was.
What he feels.
Yeah, we do. It's very evident. He's very uncomfortable. You can tell just when he's speaking how uncomfortable his body language is, that he wants to say that he's not saying what he wants to say. I think the closer we got to how he's not, huh?
He's not saying what he wants to say at all. So he's not.
No, that's what I was saying. He's definitely not saying what he wants to say. You could tell from his body language that what is coming out of his mouth is not what he wants to say. I'll say that in week one, as they were preparing to play the 49ers, that Wednesday, he usually gives his pressers on Wednesdays after practice. In the presser on Wednesday, he was asked about Colin, which, of course, I mean, that's definitely, you know, it was ahead of week one. It was the 49ers they were playing. That was his former team. And Cam, you know, he pretty much opened up. That's the closest I think we were going to get to how Cam Newton really feels. He feels there's several quarterbacks in the NFL that are not better than Colin Kaepernick, and that what's happening to him is very unfair and unfortunate. That's the closest that I felt like we were going to get to true, authentic Cam Newton. And I feel like after that conversation, I feel like he was urged to be more PC,
mm-hmm.
which is why you got what you got after the game last Sunday.
Yeah, you should just say no comment. And I hate the fact that he's attacked for what he says, because if you really understand, he's pressured to do that. And sometimes you got to wear a different hat. He has to wear the hat of a franchise quarterback who plays for an owner that is very he's very pro what's going on. And
he's very conservative. He's in the South. It is what it is. Like a lot of people think that because, you know, it's North Carolina is still very much the South. And I could tell just being in that locker room again on Thursday, you know, the way the players were talking and the things that were not being said, you could tell that they did not feel comfortable saying what they wanted to say. And even piggybacking on that, Coach Rivera was asked about it again Thursday, and he said that he told the players that they are well within their rights to feel how they want to feel and to do what they want to do. So I think he felt that it was important to reiterate that he himself didn't tell them they couldn't protest. You know, I think that more so than seeing Panthers kneel on the sideline.
Publicly. He said that publicly.
What's that? He said it publicly.
Yeah.
He said it publicly.
But that's not
the video.
You don't know what he said in that locker room whenever he pulled people to the side, because nobody from the Panthers has said anything. There's no way you're going to tell me that no one has a real opinion on the Panther team.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I said you could tell from the players in the locker room, you could tell more so by what was not being said, that they had been kind of cautioned against saying what they truly felt and believed. But, you know, it'll be, like I said before, I don't think we'll see them kneel on the sideline. If anything, I think we'll see more players hang out in the locker room during the anthem than actually give us a visual of them kneeling in protest. When it comes to the Panthers, because it's a very conservative team.
I think more players should do that. They should just stay in the locker room. That way, it's not even an issue anymore. If I was a player, I would stay in the locker room until the anthem is over. Then I would come out.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to handle it. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining the conversation today. It's always good to debate you guys and just hear your thoughts in conversations. I always value your opinions. So you guys know that you're welcome to call in at any time, you know, on Thursday night, Sunday morning. I love hearing what you guys have to say. I know you have to skedaddle and get ready for your game day. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Guys, we're going to go into a break, and we're going to go into a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up and get ready to watch today's game.
With Sheena Marie. We just had guests Wood and Jay on, giving us kind of their expertise, their analysis, and their prediction for today's games and what's going on in the NFL today. We are looking forward to today's games. We have a pretty good schedule here. We have the Panthers against the Patriots coming up at 1 o'clock. Dallas Cowboys take on the LA Rams at 1 o'clock as well. Those are the two games that I will be focusing my time and attention on, being a Dallas Cowboys super fan and a beat writer for the Carolina Panthers. Here's to hoping you guys have a great Sunday, great start to fall. The air is crisp and football is on, so there's really nothing to complain about today. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you back here Thursday at 6 p.m. to 7 for Out of the Blocks, detailing our college football matchups of the weekend, and again on Sunday at 11:30 as we cover the NFL games for the day and discuss the college football games from Saturday past. As always, it's a pleasure having you guys on Out of the Blocks.
Thank you.